Are you ready now? Be my queen, yes, take your love. All you need, but to you. Anything you want, my girl. Anywhere you want, my love. PremiumBeat.com.
Hello to my fellow winos. Welcome back to another episode of the Wine and Uncorked Chronicles. So today we're leaving the fancy schmancy wine pairings behind to go back in time a little, and by a little in time I mean back to my Kisumu days. We are talking early 2000s, 2000 and I would say from 2000, 99. Anyway, so basically I went to a school in Kisumu that was called Kisumu Junior Academy. Now, yes, this was back a day, and the people who know, you know, shout out to my Kisumu peeps. But anyway, so this is not a this is a throwback, and it's a funny story. So it's basically about how I fought and won my first bully experience. And mind you, he was a brother. He was a boy. To be fair, I didn't really have many girlfriends at the time. So, you know, we're talking primary school, you know, like what I was like in, I was 8 years old or so. No. I was between 7 and 8. Yes. So very early into primary school, you know. So anyway, let's uncork this story. It's in equal parts hilarious, terrifying, you know, when you're a 7 or 8 year old. And it involves a certain helix compass box. Do you guys remember those helix boxes with the compass point, the dividers, protractor, you name it, the box that you needed for doing your, you know, Pythagoras, drawing the compass thing, sin, cos, tan, you know, the things that you'd probably never even used for pretty much half your life in school. But anyway, so let's talk about this. Let's get into this. Now, it's not like I've ever been exactly built like a superhero. I'm pretty small person. For those of you who know me, I'm pretty small. Basically just like a bag of grapes in comparison to this guy. This guy was big. He was huge. His name was Hanif. Hanif, I promise if you're listening to this episode, GTFAO. GTFO. You know what that means, guys. Yeah, you were a horrible, horrible child who probably just didn't have enough love at home, to be fair. But anyway, we're talking about the funny stuff here. Anyway, he was a big kid. He was rather on the bigger side of a child who's about 7 or 8 years old. Hanif, this guy resembled a fridge, honestly, with the serious case of Napoleon complex. He was short, but he was thick. He was thick with a QE. And he used to walk around the class like, you know, just being a bully, you know, like kicking the ball and like just getting into people's faces. And everyone was scared of him because he was big and he used to be quite standoffish and he used to be quite like in your face. But he'd basically strut around the school field like basically doing all stereotypical bully shit because he clearly had nothing going for him. I sound like I'm extremely resentful for all this, but you can imagine at the time how impressionable you were as a 7-8 year old. So these things, they stick. He'd walk around, you know, leaving trails of people like whispering, Hanif is coming, Hanif is coming, you guys move away, Hanif, this guy is coming again, you know. Now, as I said, I didn't really have any girlfriends at the time that I had to kind of back me up. My best friend at the time was a kid called Tahir. I'll never forget him, who I basically had the hugest crush on. But that's a story for another bottle and another day. Well, what happened is Hanif basically stole this guy's pencil case before our math class. Of course, Tahir knew it was him because he told me, and I was like, oh man, shit, that's not cool. Just to find out that Hanif had also taken my pencil case and we had class, and Hanif knew that, you know, if he took them, we're going to get into trouble with the math teacher. So this was like this was this all happened during break time, and the math class was basically after break time. Now, as I said, Tahir was my only friend. Tahir was tinier than me at this point, or like around my same size. Like, honestly, there was it was two grapes, yeah, trying to fight a huge ass mango. There's no way you're winning this. Anyway, so yeah, we're this unlikely duo. Me with this being a secret admirer, we decided that we were going to basically conspire to attack Hanif. And the way we were going to do it is by basically trapping him in the room and bullying him into giving us back our pencil cases. So yeah, it was a two-pronged attack. So imagine it was the kind of bravado that only comes from being a 7-year-old, 6-year-old, where you've watched enough films to kind of be educated into, oh yeah, so if we team up, bro, you and I, we're gonna take this brother down. We're gonna take him down. So basically, Tahir and I, and obviously I was such a tomboy at the time, like me and my brother taught me how to fight, basically. Anyway. So it's this kind of bravado we had. And so we went over to Hanif. Tahir is like trying to look taller. He's puffing out his chest like a and it just looks like a deflated beach ball, And then basically Tahir is like, yo, hand over that pencil case or we're going to like lock you in the room, right? And at this time Hanif is like, yo, who exactly do you guys think you are? You're tiny. I'm huge. Now, we're in this classroom, and this guy, this genius of a human, not, he decides he's going to threaten us with a flipping compass point. Guys, you remember the Helix box case for math? Now he takes that thing out because we've basically shut the door in the room. We've barricaded it off with like desks, with these tiny little desks and desk. Wow, what a shrub. Anyway, so what happened? Sorry, I'm getting confused, guys. That shrub threw me off. Yeah, so basically we had barricaded him into the classroom, and we're like, yo, brother, give us back our pencil cases because we're about to get into trouble. So this guy obviously whips out one of the compass points from the case and held it up to Tahir. And that needle, like, oh, when I think back to it, and it's so crazy how I remember this to this day. The needle of the compass point was wobbling so uselessly. So Tahir, I think, saw the opportunity, and he looked at me and then looked back at Hanif, and we were both trying not to burst out laughing because we know at this point we've nailed his ass. Anyway, so what happened is, and honestly, this is like something out of a comic book, honestly. It's so hilarious. So basically, Tahir basically sensed the opportunity and jumped onto Hanif's back. And so this huge, it was like, imagine Hulk. Imagine the Hulk trying to get himself off of you. He's just like waving back and forth, waving back and forth, banging himself into the wall at the back. And of course, Tahir is this tiny guy, and I'm like, oh my God, what's happening? So I went to one of the compass plates and I got out, the triangle, the right angle triangle. And I basically took the thing and I kind of like scratched Hanif with it. And yeah, basically I channeled my inner, what's her name? Romanov, Natasha Romanov. And I went in there and yeah, basically deflected that compass point, clang, and then it like kind of scratched his face. So yeah, I mean, basically we were in a position where I had actually assaulted a kid. I mean, at that point in time, this brother somehow dropped Tahir, got onto his knees, and when I tell you the blood-curdling scream that came out of him when he started crying, let's just say, well, it wasn't what I expected. This guy blood-curdling scream that basically got teacher's attention, burst into tears, like, oh, look what you've done, look what you've done, you've cut me. And honestly, Tahir and I, we just stood there. Our jaws were completely on the floor. Now, Tahir sheepishly, you know, and kind of started to take a few steps back, and me just holding on to this triangle like this trophy. Needless to say that I think this guy was so embarrassed at the fact that he was crying and that he got basically turned against on by two teenage kids. Two tiny little grapes in comparison to this huge avocado mango guy. And he ran away. And the teachers came. And the teachers were like, what happened? And now Tahir and I were sitting there like, oh, shit. And of course, they'd seen Hanif running off crying. And essentially what happened was Hanif came back and he basically milked the whole situation. When I tell you milked the whole situation, this guy was crying. I mean, the reality was, yes, it was a little scratch, but come on. This guy had been terrorizing our lives. Imagine, we just beat this Hulk person, and now this is how you know. Bullies are just people who've been bullied before. They're people who just don't have any love, or they've just seen that this is how behavior is, this is how behavior should be, and then you just end up acting a fool. And then when you're turned against on, you realize this kid is just a kid like me, he was just afraid of things happening to them, and we're all just out here in this universe trying to navigate our lives, right? But yeah, so essentially what I'm trying to say is, don't fuck with me. I'm joking. I'm trying to say, like, that was the first encounter I ever had with somebody who I considered a bully. And he was a physical bully, you know. It wasn't even that. I mean, he used to, like, cause terror, and people were just generally scared of him. And I remember I even used to tell my brother, because my brother and I were in the same school at the time, like, there's this kid, Hanif, he's bullying us. And, of course, like, my brother was 10. My brother wanted nothing to do with me. He was just like, oh, my God, I'm an annoying sister. He was just trying to figure life out as well. But, you know, I'm sure if push came to shove, he would have whooped that little boy's ass. So anyway, long story short, Tahir and I ended up getting punished for that situation. We had to basically kneel down in the field for, like, I don't know, 20 minutes with our hands up and call the rain. So we were just told, go and call the rain until it comes. And obviously, yeah, the rain never came, because this is Kisumu. It was 27 degrees. It's not coming at any time soon. But anyway, do I have a moral of the story? No, I don't. What I do want to say, though, is that, of course, when I think back to this, you know, it's a story that has stuck with me. I will never forget Hanif. And Hanif, should my podcast ever blow up to the point that this reaches your ears, just know that you were a really shit child. You were really, like, not so nice child. I hope you've become a better person who doesn't bully people anymore, even though, let it be known for the record that I, myself, put you in your place with Tahir, the two smallest people in the class, mind you. So anyway, Tahir, do better. Don't be a bully. It's not good to be a bully. Like, I think we all go through phases in life where we project our insecurities onto other people. And bullying is exactly one of those ways to do that. And it's never nice to be the person who's projecting that. And even worse for the person who has to be on the receiving end of this. So just be better people. I like how... it's somehow interesting how my podcast kind of take a tangent, where I somehow tie it up with a little learning, a little morale to the story, a little parable that we can, you know, speak about. But anyway, so that was my interesting story about how I fought my first bully. And yeah, it's nice to reminisce on these things. It's nice to share. So anyway, let's take a short break and we'll be right back.
Well, I ain't sure, but I think this girl is dangerous, dangerous. Could she be on my mind? Last night was fabulous.
Hello, and today, guys, for this wine review, I've decided to take a bit of a different approach, right? So normally I do these silly reviews and I try and make the wine, I personify the wine, I try and make it sound a bit more pretentious. And so that got me on a bit of a tangent to try and find the worst wine reviews or the most hilarious wine reviews or the most pretentious wine reviews that people in the wine world have stumbled upon. So I found this website, and I believe they have a social media group. Shout out to the Wine Wankers. They have some really good content. And basically, one of the articles I read was really, really good. And basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out the review, and then I'm going to talk about how pretentious and nonsensical I think that this review is. So, they don't say the real name of the wine, but the review goes as follows. Deep color purple, aromas of rich dark currants, nectarine skins, gushing blackberry, but lots of fragrant tobacco, rich soil, white flowers, smashed minerals, and metal. Medium bodied and saucy, but racy acidity stabilizes the wine nicely with a robust tannin. Deep red currants and ripe cherries laden with mocha, loamy soil, charred herbs, pencil shavings, roasted hazelnuts, Jesus. Dense like characters that make it perfect for cellaring. However, it's drinkable straight away once you export it to the Earth's atmosphere. This delicious Sonoma Cabernet has been matured for 24 months in 2 years old, 55% Tronqué and 45% Vosges Oak. What the hell is that? What the hell? Does that even make any sense? That makes absolutely no sense to me. So, yeah, this wine review is the stupidest thing I've ever read. So let's uncork this pretentious bottle that has no real name or hasn't been mentioned. Apparently they couldn't come up with a real name because all the good ones were, I don't know, non-existent. They were whispering unicorn tears, I presume. So first things first, deep purple, groundbreaking. Moving on. The reviewer claims that this wine boasts an orchestra of aromas, including rich dark currants, gushing blackberry, and the slightest concerning smashed minerals and metal. Was this bottle, dug up during some archaeological dig? Was it some discovery like King Tutankhamun's, grave? Of course not. Then they go on to talk about the palate. Apparently, it's medium-bodied and saucy, which sounds more like a dating profile than a wine description. What is this, Tinder for wines? At least the racy acidity keeps things interesting, unlike this reviewer's dictionary. Absolute, absolute gobbledygook. And then they hit us with another fruit and earth bombardment, including mocha, loamy soil, charred herbs, and pencil shavings. What on God's green earth does that even mean? Did someone sharpen their pencils over the wine? Like, this makes absolutely no sense. Mocha, loamy soil. What is loamy soil? Look at this stupid wine review. Look at it. Look, this wine may have been delicious and been matured for 24 months in some fancy French oak sounding, impressive sounding oak thing. But all this talk of dense characters and needing to expose it to the Earth's atmosphere just screams wine snob trying way too hard. Listen, guys, I'm not a wine expert. I'm not a wine connoisseur. I am not a sommelier. I don't even claim to know much about wines. All I do is drink it, enjoy it. And if I like it, I'm going to talk nicely about it. I'm going to make fun of the pretentious. You know what? We're just here to enjoy a good old glass of wine that doesn't need any decodering. It doesn't need any cipher. Bottom line,
Yes, this wine that does not have a real name might be nice, but I guess it's definitely not for us. Thanks for listening, guys. Tune in for the next episode next week.